Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Tonight on our Living Mythology show, I am proud to bring you John Carl Pepe as we explore the legends of Hercules. Greetings and welcome, John. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. How are you, Hercules?
I'm doing great. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Got all my source material before me.
Yeah, there's definitely, we got a lot I want to cover on this Midsummer Night's conversation.
Yes.
August 1st is here, and this, I believe, is our tenth go-round. So I'm really, really excited that we've made it this far. Look forward to many more. But yeah, there's going to be definitely a lot of good Hercules stuff for us to talk about, both in two dimensions and three dimensions that I look forward to getting to. Some really good comics out there, that also are Hercules adjacent and in line also with our ongoing thread of Conan sword and sorcery, sword and sandal type stuff. Specifically, of course, Conan again being the 50th anniversary of Conan appearing in Marvel Comics.
Yeah, back in 1971.
Yeah, but I think, most importantly, before we kick things off, I would love to give you a hearty congratulations on the expansion of your family.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is some wonderful news for you this week, and you're looking forward to that. And so I'm very happy that that happened for you. So
yes, I'm ecstatic about it. It's a wonderful new chapter in my life and my wife's life and my son and his wife's life and everybody's life. And I even cut my hair short. I cut my hair to mark transitions in my life. That was a big one. So I don't think my hair has been this short since grade school.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yes, I did notice the shorn locks, that I did not know that it was timed or coinciding with this new generation, this passing on of what you know and what you have taught, to your children and now your children's children. So it's very exciting, and you're very fortunate to have that. And,
yes, ma'am.
I'm ecstatic. I'm ecstatic for you. It's such a wonderful thing. So,
thank you.
Again, congratulations.
And people love your cat. Wherever I post with you and your cat, people say, "Oh, great cat!"
That is Scully. She is the current in a long line of about 22 years of cat guardianship over several cats over time. That could probably take a whole hour in and of itself someday. But yes, that in that particular picture, that is Scully. We were getting our pictures taken with her roommate Hulk. And my wife with Santa Claus, and I had cropped that just me and her for a specific period of time as a profile picture. But yeah, that was a good find. And Scully is just she's a darling. She's crazy because she's a cat, but yeah, she's very affectionate too and very fun.
Named after Scully. So
yes, initially from the person we got her from, yes, named after Scully from the X-Files. I took to doing Scully with a K, because it was kind of a coincidence, just because I have a thing with cats with an SK somewhere, right? And I decided to, for some reason, just to start spelling it with a K. And what her favorite toy, her absolute favorite thing to do is to play with bottle caps. And she will jump at the highest I've ever seen her jump when you throw a bottle cap. She'll just, knock them around if she just comes across them. And we just leave bottle caps for her. And, And then when we clean every now and then, we like go under the couches or pick up throw rugs or whatever, bottle caps everywhere, just collected under there. So her favorite game is to play with bottle caps. Turns out there's an old street game, you know, kids in like, you know, Brooklyn and Queens and the Bronx used to play, you know, in and around New York City, called Scully, with a K. And it was a game that was done with bottle caps. It was like a throwing bottle caps game. And I guess you would draw a grid on the, you know, in chalk on the street, and you would, you know, try and nail your bottle cap or slide somebody else's bottle cap. I'm not exactly sure exactly how the game works. But yeah, so that was an interesting coincidence that I took to, you know, calling her Scully with a K, and that she loved bottle caps, and that it just happened to be this game called Scully that mm-hmm. kids used to play a century ago. So that's me and my weird random connections and such. But yeah, so she is so she's a great cat, and I love that people respond. So thank you everybody who has responded and who sent messages about how cute she was, or comments about how cute she was. I let her know. Now, speaking of transitions, this one is not as happy, I guess, of the birth of your grandchild. But we have a mutual acquaintance. You knew him a lot more better than I did, but we he and I had crossed paths several times, including one very important moment in my life for a friend of mine. But who sadly he has left us, we found out through Facebook. Black Wolf, the Dragon Master, Richard Washington, yes. Who, if anybody out there has ever been to the New York Ren Fair, you've seen him out there. He also gained some notoriety with Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog. And also was the partner in adventures with Thor the Barbarian, which I've been able to see out there in the wild of the internet, some footage I mean, first of all, that stuff. So much fun. There's a lot that I definitely want to talk about with you at some point. Specifically, I want to know what your beef is with John Sayles exactly, or it was at the time. There's some really fun stuff. I really enjoyed tracking a lot of that stuff down. I know you sent me some links, and I searched a little bit more and found some really cool stuff there. And I thought that was great that you and him shared that, you know, had that experience together, and that you guys were, you know, were partnered up in adventures for a spell. He was, you know, I think a very amazing man. He was always in on the joke. Right. He always and therefore always had the last laugh, especially with his engagements with Triumph Comic Dog, and, you know, brightened up a lot of people's lives, especially my friend Matthew and his wife Sharon, where it was arranged for him to come to the reception and bless their marriage. And
oh, wow.
It was an amazing moment, and, you know, his magic was strong because they are one of the, you know, the most solid couples, and they have a wonderful, wonderful child. And so it was, that was the biggest interaction that I got to have with him. Really wonderful man who unfortunately left us too soon. But you know, his impact, I think, was very great. And I think you would agree with that as well.
Yeah, he was great. He was very uniquely creative, and he was a very interesting person. When I had my my in studio show, I guess the first season you call it of my show, actually when I had a segment on somebody else's show, Thor the Barbarian segment, he had written in like a fan letter, and he'd written a poem about the Beowulf in Hrothgar's Hall in Grendel. So I invited him to read it on the show. And he had stayed with me during that entire run, all three seasons. He was on most of the shows after that. And he was really good. He had very good comedic timing, and he was very creative. I'll miss him. You know, you always think you're going to see people again. We invited him as a special guest at our Mythic Atlantis event in 2016. We had like a Thor the Barbarian reunion with Debbie D and like some other people. That didn't come together at the time, but he was there as a special guest. That's the last time I saw him. And I got busy, and we spoke maybe a couple of times after that. But you always expect somebody to be there, and unfortunately, life teaches us again and again that we can't make that assumption.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and you know that's definitely something you know that we all have to remember, you know, daily, and especially you know when things are kind of wacky, you know, as they are right now, with everything that's been going on. But yeah, you always want to make sure that, you know, you let the people that you appreciate know that you appreciate them, and see them when you can, especially because seeing people is tough right now too, but yeah, you make it work. Just amazing how, you know, how wide and diverse his reach was, and that he did, you know, leave a lasting mythological legacy as well, which again is, you know, something that I think he is able to smile down on, you know, and so,
right.
Yeah, a lot of people, he reached a lot of people and a lot of people loved him, you know? So God bless, you know, rest in peace, Black Wolf. You will be missed.
Yes, he will most certainly be missed. And one of his cousins, I can't share pictures, unfortunately. I wasn't given permission to. But one of his cousins has like a Black Wolf shrine where he has all sorts of pictures and artifacts, including Black Wolf's puppet, Aragorn the Dragon.
Yes, yes. Ah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Helps it live on, you know. You know, and you know, just again, my heart goes out to his family, you know, and those that were closest to him. And again, some of that stuff that you guys did together, I'd love to see more of it, because it seems like back in that time, when you had the public access show, you were having a lot of fun. And you got to do some really cool things. I got to see it's short, but that Ray Harryhausen interview, is really fun. It's really, really, really nice engagement there with him. And it's funny, 'cause there's even a video out there of a guy who met you, and had to tell people on YouTube about you, and wanted to plug your website at the time, because he just thought you were just, you know, such an engaging and amazing and, you know, person who's living the life, you know, the mythological life in the modern world. And it was a really cool thing to see out there, you know. Again, you have a wide reach as well, as I'm sure you're aware. And, you know, you have done a wonderful job just getting out there and helping people out and inspiring people and, you know, all that good work. So that's our opening.
There we go. And thank you for the kind words. Greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Well, again, I love that, there's just a lot of fun stuff in that Thor the Barbarian stuff. And I really enjoyed checking that out. So again, thanks for sharing that. And thanks for putting that out there. But let's get into something that's, I think, very exciting. Especially because it's coming hot on the heels of this announcement right after our last episode, which was our second episode about action figures, where we did a little, you know, talked about action figures quite a bit. And it was announced pretty much a day or two after that, I think, that Hasbro is doing in their Marvel Legends retro packaging style, which is an old 90s looking blister card type of packaging. Looks like the old Toy Biz Marvel designs, even though Toy Biz never did make this Hercules figure in that back in the 90s. But it's a new Hercules action figure, Marvel's Hercules. And I want to do a little deep dive into this one because I think this is kind of a big deal because this is only the third Hercules action figure in Marvel's 6-inch Legends line. And I believe there's only one in the 3 3/4-inch line from about 10 or so years ago.
I found out that there's another one, too. They released a special Avengers Endgame version in a special box. I never saw it. I wasn't even aware of it until I started researching the figures.
Oh, interesting. I did not come across that. So so let's see.
Go ahead.
So you'll key me in on that because I'm big on, like, costume design, and I'm big on the differences in action figures because, again, I think, as I've mentioned, it's a way to justify getting, you know, a ton of the same action figure of the same character. But look, you know, his ears are shorter if it's a Batman figure. Anyway, so the first one that was done in that weird period in the Marvel Legends line where it was, I think, going away from Toy Biz and starting up with Hasbro. And I'm not 100% sure if this is a Hasbro or a Toy Biz, late Toy Biz or early Hasbro, but it was a really nice figure as far as the classic Hercules Marvel costume, where he's got the one, you know, sort of like the one strap across. And then the two, like the sort of the skirt, like the short skirt with the really high, high boots, right? Or the high laced boots or the leather strap boots, right? That go right up, mid thigh. That's your classic 60s, 70s, early 80s Hercules, right? That's, you know, that's the one in the Champions and that's the one, that would, you know, with the Avengers and those early stories and such. I think that's a great costume, and that figure is very hard to find, though. I think it's over, I think, $60, I noticed, on the secondary market, so that's a tough one to find. But if you need that Hercules figure and you got that coin to drop, it's, I believe, the Annihilus wave. They build a figure in that wave as Annihilus. And so that's the first one that they did. And then the one that the most recent one that I had noticed was part of the Endgame, the Avengers Endgame, because the Build-A-Figure was Thanos, right? It was the movie Thanos, and the Hercules in that one had an interesting. I never have noticed this costume in a comic before, but you probably have. So it had the one main strap and then like another little offshoot strap, and then he's wearing like adventurer pants, right? Pocket pants with pockets on them and then boots, I believe, which is a really nice looking figure. It almost looks like he has like a little top knot or something on there. The face expression is really good. It's really good Hercules face on that. And I think that one also comes with a sword and his classic mace. And the sword, it's got like the sheath. I love when they do the little detail, like little thing you could put the sword in the back. So that's the one that I knew was like the second one. And then I thought this new one that's going to be coming out. Now, it says release date in October, but sometimes these things have a habit of hitting the shelves beforehand. But I like this look a lot, at least as far as the torso, the two straps over the shoulder with the one leather strap across the chest makes a giant H, right? Which I dig. He's a little more bare-legged than the other one, with the shorter leather sandal boots. And then the briefs. He's got the gold mace, which is great, and he's got two heads, and I love when they give you the two heads.
Because
both are like classic Marvel Hercules. You know, I think they're the better head sculpts of the three that I've come across. One's that big smile, and another's like more of a fighting face. But I think that that's a great addition to that. I'm definitely going to pick that one up when I see it. Because again, secondary market on, I think, the other one, that other one, with the pocket pants, that's like 50, 60 bucks or something like that too. That I've noticed. Yeah. But then, you get like an extra Thanos head, which is cool. So it's good to have an extra head, figure head lying around. but that one coming out, the Marvel Legends retro packaging, Marvel's Hercules, that I think is a must-have figure for anybody who likes the big guy.
Yes, definitely.
So what's the one you were talking about, the Endgame in the box? Was that part of that Build-A-Figure wave that I mentioned for the Thanos, or was that another figure?
It was another figure, and it was very differently sculpted, although it looks similar to some of the sculpts that have come out, but it's bulkier and I believe it's a little bigger. While I was looking, because I have two of each of the other three, including the, I also have two of the little one that came out, and I have, one I took out of the box and the other one I left in the box, put them in plastic bins, for storage. I saw a picture on Amazon that didn't look like, it looked similar to the others, but it wasn't the same. So I did some research that was a special Endgame Legends one that came out.
Okay, interesting, yeah.
And it goes for like 50, 60 bucks, mostly outside of the wrapping.
Right. But that didn't come with the, that didn't have the Thanos head or the Build-A-Figure piece in that. That was its own figure.
That was its own figure. It might have had, I don't remember if it had the head in it or anything else, but I remember the figure looked a little different. So I put it down for when I have a disposable $50, or if somebody puts it up cheaper and I manage to scarf it, it's on my list of things to look at. He's a more muscular, bulkier, Hercules, I'm looking forward to the new one that's coming out as well. I don't know if I'll get two or if I'll just get one this time around.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, again, that's the way that I buy action figures, the frequency that I buy action figures. That is just not feasible for me as far as buying two of everything. I definitely couldn't afford to do it, nor do I necessarily see the need to. Some of the current packaging, like the Marvel Legends packaging, the McFarlane Toys packaging, you can mostly get away with opening it and then putting the figure back without doing damage to the box.
Right.
The blister card ones, though, you're gonna mangle it. You're gonna definitely bring down any potential resale value. But again, I'm not into it to sell the toys. I'm into it to, have the memorializations of the mythology in plastic. So, but when you have a refined collection, when it's only, a character that they don't make a lot of action figures, I think that's always a great idea, because even if the worst case scenario, something happens to the one that's on display, you have a backup to put on display.
Right.
at least you're prepared in that respect. Then you don't have to search on the secondary market for the replacement or try to fix it yourself. And if you're good at that, God bless you, because I'm not that good at fixing my broken action figures. So a lot of them just balance on their severed limbs. So, but yeah, I was very excited I wish they had brought that up. I wish they announced that before, but I was like, I like the little synchronicity of that. We just spent some time talking about action figures, and then they blessed us, the action figure gods and deities of plastic likeness, has blessed us with this announcement of a brand new Hercules action figure. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to that, and I still haven't given up on finding the statues inexpensively. That hasn't happened. But every now and then,
Look, I've noticed the collectible thing. I've noticed it specifically with action figures. There's a lot of heat right now. There's a lot of scarcity right now. Because production, has been wonky with, again, everything that we've been kind of dealing with. It's really wreaking havoc with the supply chain, and so right now, there's a lot of heat on action figures on the secondary market. A lot of them are very hard to find. But I think, as we creep closer to the holiday season, I think that there'll be a step up in the production, and you keep watching some of these figures, and they rise now, and then they go down again at some point, so sometimes it's just a waiting game.
Or they never do. Some things I thought I'd wait till they go down a little bit, never went down, they shot up, and I regretted not having paid the full price, which now is ridiculously low on some of these items. So what can you do?
Yeah. What can you do? Yeah, I know. Like I said, there's about 160 things sitting in my, in my save for later list. And I always look for that alert on price changes. And it just, a lot of them, it just never comes. Yeah. And you look at that, and it's like, I should have gotten that when that was $20.
Right. Well, $20. But, it turns up sometimes in the weirdest ways. Things will turn up like years later when you're not really actively looking for them. All of a sudden you'll stumble across it in the thrift store or somebody's like, hey, I wanted this.
Yeah. Or the loose figure bin. I've had a lot of luck just filling out, lineups, right? Just going through a loose figure bin, and it's they're good shape, and that's like the last couple guys you needed to complete that set or whatever, especially if it's like you're not concerned about a build-a-figure. Sometimes, you don't get all the accessories, but whatever, you get the main part. You get the meat, you get the figure, So So I always like the loose figure bins. I'm a big proponent of that as well. There's some really good heat, I think, on Hercules too. I think we've talked about this before. I think that we might get a surprise something with in one of the upcoming Marvel movies. I initially was hedging my bets on the Eternals, but I think it's looking more and more like it might be the fourth Thor movie, which, as we've talked about, is a great place to bring Hercules into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, especially just because of his classic interplay with Thor in the comics. I think we've talked about how it really play well on the screen. I think if I were doing that, I would definitely, pull the trigger on that. And I think there's everything, the way things are being shot now too, there's a lot of, you can get away with some secrecy, I think as far as stunt casting or surprise casting, as we've seen on some of the Marvel TV shows, some people that we thought were going to show up somewhere else down the road show up a little bit ahead of schedule in the timeline, as it were. So I think that I'm holding out. I'm holding out hope that we're going to get a nice surprise in Thor: Love and Thunder. I think we've talked. I'm not going to. Okay.
We're getting Zeus. Zeus is going to die. We know that.
We know that. Thanks.
And we've seen Ares in the Thor Ragnarok. We're getting like little glimpses of the Olympians in the Thor saga. So that is a good place to put him. And so I'm looking forward to that happening at some point in the near for our future. And talking about Thor and Hercules and their relationship in Marvel Comics, I was very surprised to find that same type of relationship in Gods of Brutality.
Yes.
Black Caravan, Scout Comics. it was very refreshing. The story was kind of strange, but you had that paternalistic Zeus and Odin and their impetuous sons who are ultra competitive and competed with each other to who's best in, you know, like a frenemy type of way, like it was in Marvel. So it was very refreshing that they used that dynamic in that comic.
Yeah, this one passed by my Spidey sense, when it came through the shop, and it came to my attention when you posted the image of the cover on Facebook, and I just said I have to have this. I have to read this because not only does it tie into a lot of what we've been discussing. And again, like you said, the relationship between Thor and Hercules, as it plays out in the Marvel comics here, now plays out, within a no holds barred situation. But as a comic reader, this speaks to me because it is such a high concept, just laugh riot of a book in a lot of ways. It's all done for laughs. And it's over the top, ultra violent, and just really, really fun. So the plot revolves around I love when they do this. You get the little newspaper clipping in the inside front cover. Rock God Nick Dillon dead, and Nick Dillon apparently killed at 27 years old, which is, you know, that's the age that all the good rock stars apparently pass away at. And so they're playing off that trope right away, which I love. I think it's great. And as you meet an elder Nick Dillon, this guy's clearly over 27 years old, and he is telling this story about when he died, he went to hell. And he, a really interesting setup for hell where he's chained next to a guy named Carl who is explaining to him the structure of hell. And I love that bit too. There's just the guy next to you droning on about how this whole situation is, as they're waiting to be some demon's lunch, essentially. And so Nick Dillon cries out to any deity that will hear him, and he names them all, and he says, if you get me out of hell, I will write and sing songs about you throughout the whole world. Everyone will hear these songs sung in your name. And of course that speaks to Odin and Zeus.
Creative too. That was very, very creative, the way they did that.
I love that bit. I thought that was fantastic. And they're just like, oh, yeah, this guy needs our help. And, yeah, so they have essentially Asgard and Mount Olympus are just sort of coexisting. And they have these gladiator-esque battles, for Odin and Zeus. And, of course, the featured stars are Thor and Hercules. And I love Thor's look in this. It's very much in line with the much of the Norse mythology description, mm-hmm. as far as, like, with the gloves and the belt. Hercules, it's sort of it's interesting. It's a different look. Some of it harkens to the Marvel Hercules. But he's got the shaved head, which makes me think of The Rock a bit, right? And these guys are just they're great together. They are the gods of brutality, as they announce themselves when they come to hell and help spring Nick Dillon out of his predicament. But of course, it's only a first issue. I think it's a 4 or 5 issue miniseries. That it will continue. Their journey through hell is only just beginning. Clearly, we know that Nick makes it out somehow, gets to have the rest of his career. We just don't know, how the journey unfolds, how the saga unfolds from there. But I am along for this ride. This is
yeah,
one of
me
the
too.
I It's one of the most enjoyable comics I have had the chance to read in some time. The artist, we'll get some credit where credit is due, written and colored by Rich Woodall, penciled and inked by Mark Welzer. And Mark Welzer clearly has some Eric Larson, Savage Dragon influences. Really shows up, I think, in some of the depictions of Zeus and Odin and Thor and Hercules. And apparently did some backup. I think in the text page it says something about how they did some backup story in an issue of Savage Dragon. So I think it's really, really great that they got this opportunity, like you said, through Black Caravan, which is an imprint of Scout Comics. And what I also thought was very enjoyable, I love back matter in comic books, Hercules. I love when they give you something extra. And
yeah.
This has two pages of the Gods of Brutality Fun Zone, which features a maze of madness, a cryptic anthem word jumble, one of those spot the differences things.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can finish drawing Thor's hammer in the blank squares, and then a great cutout for Hercules, where you have the options of how Hercules is going to beat the hordes of hell, either an axe, nunchuck made of bones, a dead shark, or a hoagie sandwich. I don't think the maze is actually finishable. I have yet to solve it, but I'm going to keep trying.
Never give up.
Never give up. Exactly. Gods of Brutality. It's issue one. I think it's not going to be quite monthly. I think the next one's not going to show up until about September. But plead, and bother your local comic shop about Gods of Brutality. And it should still be available, if not on the shelves, on a reorder. But definitely give this book a look. It's a lot of fun. And now, along the same lines, there's a couple other new books that I wanted to talk about that I don't think you've had a chance to check out. Barbaric at all?
Is Barbaric Hercules in it, or is just the Barbaric?
It does not. It now we're kind of going into the sort of like the Conan realm, right? It has a lot in line with Gods of Brutality as far as being sort of humorous, done for laughs. One thing I do like about Gods of Brutality, as far as the way Odin and Zeus and Hercules and Thor speak, they have that heightened, Stan Lee-esque language that we've come to know in comics for those characters. I love that, and I love that how they use it in Gods of Brutality as well. But I always love that in those depictions, and I love that kind of heightened language for those characters. Gods of Brutality Barbaric dispenses with all of that, as far as having a more contemporary spin. So you have a foul-mouthed barbarian named Owen, who is cursed to only kill those who do evil, and he wields a bloodthirsty axe, and the axe speaks to him, and the axe literally gets drunk on the blood of those it has slain. So this is kind of again long lines of the wacky side, but it's a gorgeous looking book. It's from Vault Comics, written by Michael Moreci, and art by Nathan Gooden, colors by Addison Duke. So if you like your barbarian comics, and you kind of want to try something with a little bit of a different, little more, again, high concept, irreverent spin, if Gods of Brutality speaks to you, I definitely would recommend giving this Barbaric a shot. That's on its second issue. And then just in one more thing that's sort of in this sort of sword sandal fantasy realm that we do talk about a little bit is Marvel Comics' new 5-issue miniseries called Amazing Fantasy by Kerr Andrews. Now, I don't know if you've spotted the cover for this at all.
I've spotted it. I don't know too much about it, though, so I guess I'll learn something now. And then I have a couple of comics, too, I wanted to bring up as well.
Awesome, awesome, yeah. So the quick log line on this is you basically have Captain America from World War II, teenage Peter Parker, alias Spider-Man, and a young Black Widow still in the Red Room when she was an adolescent. They each get plucked out of their current timelines and are brought into a fantasy-type realm. So what you kind of get is a Steve Rogers Captain America, who is sort of more like a barbarian with an axe and the shield, and riding a flying lion. Peter Parker gets transported to a world where it actually has I don't want to spoil the cliffhanger ending there, but it really has a nice hook at the end. And I can't rave enough about Kerr Andrews' artwork. Each of the introductory pieces for the characters is a specific style, a specific comic mm-hmm. style. And then each of their world, this amazing fantasy world that they wind up in, is also a slightly different style. So, so this guy, he's an amazing talent, pun definitely intended there. And I just, this book, again, if you like your fantasy, you like your Frazetta style artwork, you like guys wielding axes on flying
lions.
Captain America, no less. It's some really good stuff, and I really really do recommend giving this one a shot. It's only a 5-issue miniseries, so you can grab them one at a time or wait till it's collected into one probably gorgeous looking package there. So that's Amazing Fantasy by Karen Andrews. Yeah, flip through it the time you're in.
Joker's Child. I'm gonna look through it because I love those old type of fantasy comics, the ones from the 70s and the 80s. So I'm going to check into that. So thank you for that.
Yeah. A lot reminds me a little bit of the, do you remember the old Marvel Fanfare? And the first four issues had the Savage Land adventure, which pulled in Spider-Man to the Savage Land, and the X-Men, of course, who, known to romp around the Savage Land, and, of course, Kazar. It reminds me a lot of that specific, that storyline as far as, like, the vibe it's going for. But just looking through it really just blew me away. This guy's a great talent. He has been for years. And I think this is going to be, something really good, I hope. You always go to bat on the first issue, but you never know if they're going to stick the landing.
I hope it's successful and they do more things like that. Because, again, I love that style of comic, and I usually love the content in those comics as well. I was surprised to see Hercules Payne is back. I didn't get a chance to read it, and thank you for letting me know that you've obtained the book for me. I'm looking forward to picking it up.
It's there waiting for you. No, I have not picked that one up. As we talked about the initial Hercules Payne miniseries, again from Xenoscope Press, known for Grimm's Fairy Tales, and I really loved the first four-issue miniseries. I thought the concept was great. I think I was bemoaning the fact that this has not been optioned for live action anywhere, because I definitely think that would be, I think that would do great. I think either as like a CW show or, one of these plus, HBO Plus, Paramount Plus, CBS Plus, I guess CBS Plus is Paramount Plus, but one of these operations, someone should give this a shot. Someone should probably do a live action something with this, because I love the concept. I love the setup. You said that he appeared in another miniseries or a one shot. It was like a crossover, I believe, right?
Yeah, he was in his own 5-issue miniseries. And then at the time I was reviewing it, and Zenoscope had sent over the comics, so I reviewed them all, and I was interviewing Pat Shand, who I believe is now involved with Marvel, and he's done his own independent comics. Back then he was doing this series. I believe I also interviewed Chuck Brown, who was involved with the comic, but it's been years. And he continued in Grimm's Fairy Tales 118 to 125 as a Realm Knight. And then I never got around to reading those or getting them. And I do want to seek for them and find them now. And now he's back. So I'm really excited to see what he does with the Spider Queen.
Yes, yes, yeah. Again, it would be nice for it to sort of be its own standalone. Sometimes you're like, oh, 118 to 125. Do I have to read 1 through 117 to know what's going on? Or, you know. Look forward to hearing your thoughts on it. Like I said, it is there waiting for you.
And yes, and also in the Guardians of the Galaxy, I have very mixed feelings now about that whole run. He came with a new run, and they rescued him from Olympus, and he helped them fight that version of the Olympians. I had mixed feelings about this new version of Hercules. There were pros and cons. I figured let me give it a chance. When the series, when the story was ending at number 12, he was in the roster and he was sprinkled throughout the book, though in no great role. He was interacting with people. Then the new story started with 13. He wasn't on the roster, he wasn't in the book. 14, he wasn't in the roster, he wasn't in the book. 15, he was in the book in, I believe, 2 panels. And then 16, he's in the roster and the book, and I believe he's in like 2 or 3 panels as well. This week, what is coming out is an annual, and on the annual, he's fighting the Prince of Power, which is one of his old titles. They have a new Prince of Power now. So I imagine, although I'm not entirely convinced, that the issue will focus on the character of Hercules. What I'm becoming leery about, it's like when he was on the Avengers, a lot of times they didn't seem to know what to do with him. So he was just like the muscle, and they'd have him in a few panels and saying a few things, you know, to keep the story moving along. But it wasn't until Pack and Van Lente that he had the focus that he had in the early days under Jack Kirby. So again, if you just have him around as a background character, I might just follow the issues that he's appearing in and then just forget the rest. But if they're going to integrate him into the tale and give him his own story, then I'll definitely follow it because I'm interested in all different permutations of the myth.
Yeah, of course, of course. And yeah, you know, this cover actually caught my attention to this Guardians of the Galaxy annual, which, yes, will be out this Wednesday. The Hercules, he looks a little older. Than the more popular Marvel interpretation of him. But it is the same Hercules, or he has gone through something?
They seem to be going with the Eternals and with the gods, that the gods kind of, if they die, they get respawned. And sometimes the pantheon will respawn itself to meet the needs of the time. So in the early Guardians of the Galaxy, they were war gods, kind of. But then they found that because of events in the Marvel Universe, they weren't needed in that way. So the story was kind of they're coming to that realization and withdrawing again. But Hercules, who was fighting them in their new incarnations, he had a new incarnation too. Was able to stay and remain as part of the continuity. But that seems to be what you're going with. Like if you've been following the Eternals at all, you know, they kind of have a process by which they respawn. So I'm sure that the Olympians don't have the same process, but they have something similar.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Because there are connections there. So that's interesting. And then this Prince of Power character, sort of like a young Hercules, I'm guessing. Think now he had shown up a few years ago. Didn't he have his own miniseries or one shot, or has? Because I feel like in doing some of my research on Marvel's Hercules, I came across something that there was like this sort of like this young kid who got these bands that it was almost, yeah, I gotta look this guy up because I believe that he has had some appearance before in the past in Marvel. And I almost want to say it was around that Incredible Herc era, you know, when Hercules took over Hulk's book. So you've never come across this character before.
No, I hadn't. And I looked him up as you were speaking. His name is Odoron, or Other One. The planet named Noblor.
Okay.
Who became a muscular wellspring of power after swallowing the Power Stone. And he dubbed himself Power. And then he began working with Black Jack O'Hare and Black Bunny Solutions. And I guess that's how he entered the Guardians of the Galaxy, because they were there in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, this is the Heroic Age, 2010. So this guy's about a decade old. So I thought that was interesting. I kind of thought the costume design was a little neat, because it had at the shoulder where it had the POP, right? Prince of Power.
Uh-huh.
And that made me think of Pop and how, you know, Marvel used to have the Pop Art Productions in the upper right, corner of the cover there. So I thought that was a cool little costume detail that I picked up on. Well, I hope that it does, you know, give you a lot of clarity and a nice addition to Hercules in Marvel Comics this annual of Guardians of the Galaxy. I hope I hope it's worth the wait for you, because I know that frustration of
yeah.
waiting to see that character that you love that only shows up in a panel here or a panel there, and then he gets entirely forgotten about for years, you know,
for a while, yeah.
picks him up, you know. But these myths, you know, Hercules, he's the granddaddy of them all as far as the heroic adventure myth. And, you know, as we've talked about, modern mythology, that especially comics, would be nothing without Hercules. So you can't keep a good demigod down. And I think big things are definitely on the horizon for the character, both in comics and elsewhere.
I'm looking forward to his new incarnation in DC also. He came up very briefly in the Wonder Woman run, and he got killed right away, and then he came back
yep.
in Flashback, and that was it.
Yep.
And in New 52, he appeared deranged and mad from being in the underworld and fighting with something for a very long period of time. And I was looking forward in Wonder Woman because she freed the gods from the limbo that they were in, the death that they were in. For the past
yeah.
couple of years, now she's in Elfheim. I was hoping to catch a glimpse of Hercules there. I didn't really look through every god they drew, but I'm going to do that next to see if I can spot him and if he's going to be coming back at some point.
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, as we talked about, it's very hard for DC to do something with Hercules that, you know, that Marvel doesn't already do so well. But there will be upcoming a History of the Amazons.
I'm looking forward to that.
That looks beautiful, looks gorgeously illustrated, and I'm sure we're going to get at least, you know, some Heracles, right? If not Hercules, however they choose to refer to him in that, but that'll be a nice classic interpretation in comics of Hercules. So that's something also to look forward to.
He's part of their origin myth for Wonder Woman and the Amazons of Themyscira. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they did. They did him in Earth 1 or Earth 2. They had a series, and they had Hercules in there, a slightly different interpretation of him. So, again, I look forward to how this mythic archetypal figure pops up in the popular culture, you know, through people's imaginations into different forms of creative expression.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's the wellspring from which all the great adventure come from, you know, and you know, it definitely has its roots earlier than that, but there was just something so captivating about Hercules, his journey, his struggles, and his, you know, his ability to persevere that he does permeate, you know, everything, as far, you know, when you look at it, like we've talked about how aspects of Superman have been, you know, have had Hercules grafted onto him. Of course, the original Big Red Cheese Captain Marvel, you know, says the magic word Shazam. H is there for Hercules. Yep, exactly. And then, of course, with Marvel's, you know, use of the character and really, really, again, with what the way Marvel has developed that character, really an iconic, you know, postmodern version of a classic myth. And I do love the Marvel version. I think it's definitely the go-to when you're looking at comics for Hercules. And again, let's see how that translates on the screen, if and when, I think definitely when we get to experience that. So.
And on that note, we only have less than 4 minutes remaining, and I'd love for you to share your contact information and to plug the Joker's Child.
Sure, of course. You know, I love to plug the Joker's Child. Of course, I can always be reached on Facebook, John Carl Yastrzemski Pepe. You know, email me, johncarlpepe@hotmail.com. And, of course, if you want to pick up any of these comics and you are in the northern New Jersey area, well, come on down to the Joker's Child, 12-23 River Road, Fairlawn, New Jersey, in the county of Bergen. Like I said, state of New Jersey, the country that is United States of America, on this planet Earth, in this system we call Sol, in this galaxy that they call Milky Way, and of course in this universe that is ours. Don't be confused by any other variants and multiverses out there. We are in Earth Prime, and Joker's Child is always there for you for your comic needs.
And it's an awesome place to visit. It's an awesome place to buy things. And it's an awesome place to go hang out and interact with other fans of this medium. John, thank you so very much. You're awesome. And I'm enjoying our 10-show adventure, which is only the beginning. And I look forward to our next conversation. I'm going to be putting up Zoom shows starting this month. This month only a handful of them, but after that I'll be putting more and more shows on Zoom. So let me know if you're interested. Some people are, some people aren't. Some people would prefer the audio only.
Right on, right on. I kind of like the video element, and you know, I think it's nice to be able to do show and tell. So maybe we'll give it a whirl. If not the next one, then maybe our 1 year anniversary show.
That'd be great.
All
thank
right.
you, my love for
thank
your family,
you.
Your cats.
And, same here.
Thank you, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Absolutely. Fare thee well.
And thanks to everybody who listened tonight, whether you called in, whether you clicked on a link and or found yourself here, or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures.
And amazing adventures.
Yes. And we'll close tonight with Mighty Elohim by Linnell Griffin.